What up, all your traders and investors out there? Thanks for joining me once again. This is Eye on the Market Trade Doc, where I go over a broad list of 32 ETFs and ETNs that we could see opportunity in. And again, I'm recording this, and you'll be able to find it probably on Theta TV. So today is June 6th, 2021. It's a Sunday. It's about 4:30. I just have the background beats now. I'm just gonna use this one, which I'm a big fan, so we're gonna keep rolling with that. Now mostly been more active in the crypto trading on this accumulation phase where the prices really dropped. So was pretty much active there. As far as the options, I'm just selling puts because I really don't have time to take a look at the markets because I'm busy with my biz. But hopefully I'm working on being my last season so I can just chill out, trade, and move on to a different project, hopefully. So that's what I've been working on. But yeah, still trading. You know, I'm monitoring, so don't take no risky positions when I'm not really in the market. This week we had a stabilization, you can say, of the crypto market where I've been like focusing and I trade Mara and also the cannabis market where SNDL. There's just you know, those two, and then there's a couple other companies that just been selling puts on, no large position. I have a Callender's puts and just short puts on those companies that have a positive drift. But other than that, let's just get into it. This is on the market, going over the broad 32 ETF lifts. And first up, we have USO. And USO, like oil and all oil prices now, we're looking at $69.37 a barrel. So that's reflected in the gas prices. You can see how they just keep on climbing. And sure enough, they had on the USO, well, let's just talk about the crude oil. Crude oil had a dip back in May 20th. You know, they kind of stabilized right around like 61.59 is where they bought them, which is still pretty high considering where they were, where it was. And then from there, we've been drifting up. Let's see, from that retest of the 61.71. Now it's up 13%. So crude oil is no joke. It's been pushing up, and it looks like it's busting out all week. And, you know, even all week, it's up over 3% on the week. So we might have a little more push of. Might get a little bit euphoric. Who knows what happens with oil? Oil could be, you know. I mean, it's already in the 60s. Can it go back to 100? I mean, theoretically it can. If they did the same thing they did last time with sanctions, making a low supply, of course it can push the price higher and have people fighting battles, bidding on oil if there's a shortage. And that's kind of like what's happening and keeping the oil prices climbing. It's just, I guess they figured out an easier way to control the supply, I guess. And that's using the government to make sanctions. It's not even like the free market. But hey, that's just me thinking about it now. I'm just talking to myself, obviously, like on the podcast. But it struck me, it's like, I feel dumb just for not realizing that earlier, you know what I mean? I kind of just realize it now that I'm just like doing this podcast and like thinking about it and technically talking to myself, just like talking out loud, I guess you could say. But wow. Anyways, yeah, I guess that's how they're doing it. And I'm just kind of, you know, you'll see me if you watch the video. I'm just kind of, you just see a screenshot of just me adding the trend lines there. So, I mean, there should be a trend break. But like I said, you know, without the outside forces, you know, it kind of imposes on the market. And it'll definitely reflect on, like, the market will react to whatever political, you know, whatever happens. As far as any, you know, laws put in, you can say. But oil has just made an all-time high. Well, not an all-time high, but, you know, you can say like a 2-3 year high of 47.50 on USO. And USO is actually trading at 47.26, which is not far from the high. It was up over 0.5% on Friday. And like I said, it could keep on climbing. But let's just keep on going because we spent a lot of time on oil. Next is XOP. Also made it a recent high. Yep, on Friday morning. Peaked out at 97.96. Now they're trading at 96.42. And again, they look like they're kind of stabilizing. They just climbed up in the beginning of the week. Was up, the beginning of the week was up 10%. So right now it's kind of just stabilizing here. Probably going to consolidate a little bit and probably climb higher depending on what happens with the oil prices. Next is OIH. And OIH again made a recent all-time high of $248, which is incredible, like since they had the split. And I used to trade it and it was just going down and down and down and down. That was like probably the wrong time to trade it, because then I knew it was going to bounce, but I'm one of the ones that got out hurt and never went back to it. Kind of just stayed there, and then all of a sudden that was in October of 2020, you know, because they had a split. And I remember it was trading at like $10 and it went down maybe like to $2, $5. I'm not sure. But that's when it was like, you know, the frustration was already in. And everything seemed like it was supposed to bounce. But of course, they just held it up and pretty much shook everybody else, including myself, out of the whole thing. And I figured it was rigged, and it was exactly rigged. And then, you know, I pulled out, never went back to it. And then that's when it started climbing. So let's just say from the time that I left till now, that's up like 150%. So that happens in the trading world, you know. And this is IOH, where I used to trade a lot of options to it. But the options, you know, they just wasn't doing it. So it was like a bad allocation because the yield wasn't good, especially when you're semi-bullish and it just keeps on drifting down. Anyways, with IOH, again, they were up over 0.5% on Friday. I'm going to move on. Next is UNG. They're trading at the top of the channel, trading at 10.89. The futures is trading at 309, so that's back to where it should have been a couple of years ago, probably. This is when I was trading it was around $3. So we'll see if it can break above the channel, which is around 11:37 for UNG. Right now, UNG was up on Friday over 1%, trading at 10.89. Next is XLE, that's the energy sector. We spent a lot of time on energy sector. We just spent 10 minutes on it. But with oil and everything, the oil services, but the energy sector is trading at 55.75, had an all-time high Friday morning of 55.98. And again, they, you know, those are the ones I've listed on here. The companies in there would be like Halliburton, Kim McMoran, Schlumberger. What is it? ExxonMobil, Chevron, and COP. I forget which one that one, but yeah, the energy sector has been, you know, chugging along with all those oil prices. That's a lot of people getting fat, getting that cash. Next is XLU, and XLU kind of looks like it's flagging out, ready to start moving up. They kind of peaked out on April 20th, and they've just been drifting down. April 20th, they were at $68. Right now, they're trading at $65. So they've been consolidating for a while since then. They kind of like flagging out, but again, there could be a breakdown. A retest of like 64s would be better. But XLU is always good to have, just for defensively. You know, you're not going to get a lot of yield out of it. Next is XLI, the industrial sector. It keeps on moving up, so everything's been drifting. I think, you know, another 0.5% by the end of next week is not a far-fetched possibility. Industrial sector really looks like it set up a bottom down here at 101. Now they're trading at 105.34. So, I mean, any prices at 105 is pretty good. So that's not pretty much far from an entry level, especially if you're expecting a bullish move, which is, I'm pretty much expecting a bullish move. It doesn't have that far up to break out, so you know it's gonna at least test that 106.81. And I think it's been consolidating long enough. It's kind of hit all those levels. The point of control has been moving up, so it's not a far-fetched possibility. I mean, it could like reach the top and then, you know, come down from then and start retesting the bottom of 100 again. It could happen, but there's been a decent volume anyways. So unless something happens, I think the industrial sector would be able to break out of 106. Next is material sector XLB, trading at 87.91. Also, they're flagging out. So that's the material sector. I think they can really, as I'm not sure what type of like strong move, how strong the move would be, but I think it'd be pretty strong. At least a 6% move from the current levels. So the material sector, materials just keep on getting more expensive, especially with the oil prices. Materials get expensive just because of transportation. Having expensive oil, making materials more expensive. So that's pretty much a given. So next is metals and mining, XME. And also they keep moving up. They hit an all-time high. They just keep on pushing it. So they're trading at 46.67, all-time high 47.88. You know, kind of trading this channel, so it could come down and retest like the 44.60s, Right now they're at 46.67. Next says MJ Sector trading at 21, and this is like boring. It just pretty much consolidates between, you know, a dollar between 21, let's just say 22 to 1950. It's been consolidating there for a long time. And I think the MJ sector is just going to continue to consolidate like that. Next is XBI. That's biotech sector, and they continue to drift down. So, part of some issues there regarding personal companies, but they're down over 50% since the beginning of February. As far as I was looking at the wrong thing, and I was like, wow, down 50%. But then again, it's like, you see OIH up 150%, so there could be things down 50%. I can't figure out exactly. All right, so they're down 30%. So XBI down 30% since February. Probably has to do with individual companies. Next is XLV. They're pretty much consolidating at between 120 and 125 for a while, since pretty much April. So it looks like they're consolidating, so eventually they'll start breaking, but they have hit this bottom support quite a few times versus the top, so it could have it could be an indicator of some selling pressure eventually. Next is the XRT, the retail sector. And the retail sector could have a breakout more recently. Let's see how the earnings go. But it looks good. They have a good positive, very positive drift, like say from, what is this? From the end of the December, it's up 63%. That's pretty good for the retail sector. Next, consumer staples. And consumer staples is actually breaking out at the moment, so we should see about a 5% move for next week. So that's some easy pickings right there. And in the consumer staples, consumer discretionaries is coming down. So consumer staples is like, that's because food prices, things are going up. That's part of what happened. And SMH trading at 250. They're trading at the top of the channel. They've been consolidating all year between the 258, which was the high, and the 220, which is the low. Right now they're at like more of the higher part of the channel. So I'm just pretty much stretching out the channel. It's pretty horizontal, so could be some profit taken there to rebuy in at the 223s. Next is IYR, and IYR, the real estate sector, is breaking out. So real estate has been on a tear lately. So that's what's going down. Next is financial sector. Had a high on Friday. So everything keeps moving to an upward momentum. Even TLT, which looks like it had a breakout on Friday, was up 1.25%, over 1.25%. So TLT's looking good. Next is gold, GLD. You know, off that double bottom, they've just been drifting up. Gold is now trading at $1,894.10 an ounce, and for the futures per ounce. And it came down on Thursday, recovered about half of that. Could come down a little bit more, but gold. Yeah, let's see. I'll tell you. Has been up since the double bottom. ~20% So I gotta apologize. We were just in oil and gold, and I was in the middle of the podcast, and I just got called out. So it's actually several hours later, and I'm just going to finish it up, the video recording, because it kept on recording. I just had to delete it because I don't edit videos. I don't do any of that. If I can't, I just record it one time and then that's it. So this week you won't be able to catch the video, but I'm going to get this podcast finished. So we're in gold, and gold's been drifting up nicely. Let's just keep on moving here. And we got GDX, and GDX is trading at 38.68. It was up over 1.25%. So gold and GDX, I mean the precious metals, that would definitely trade some consolidation and even some positive delta. But as you know how these things in, kind of manipulation could happen at any moment. Next is UUP, the US dollar, and that's been drifting down. It's not at all-time lows, but it's not that far away. It's trading at 24.24, the all-time low, which was set in January 5th, was 24.05. So we could see a very, very low dollar pretty soon, which is kind of add to inflation, make everything go up, including the stock market. Next is QQQ. And the NASDAQ is about to come and test some highs. So we haven't had a high since April, but the NASDAQ, I can probably see some new highs coming. Next is IWM, and IWM has been consolidating in this price box for a long time, pretty much since January. So it got the lift in January, and it's just been in this price box of 206 and 233. So calendar signing something. It's going sideways, and it still is. Right now it's trading at 227.40. Next is the SPY, up 0.9% on Friday. And the SPY has been going sideways since April, the middle of April. And definitely going to see some new all-time highs throughout the market. Next is FXI, so this is China. China looks like it's getting a lift. The structural, it's kind of like a messy structure. So if they did make a bottom in May, last month, if that was the bottom of 43.46, then there's got to be another retest close to that price for this to create some bullish structure. Right now, it looks kind of iffy. It doesn't look like a strong bullish structure as far as a reversal. It looks like a pullback in a bear market. So right now, it looks like a bear market since it hit its high of 54.60s around there. Right now it's trading at 46.80. So FXI, I used to trade this a lot. Just after the Chinese thing happened, the principality thing, I just got rid of all my NIO, got rid of all the Chinese stocks. So next is INDA. India was almost 1% and it's looking strong. Pretty much pushing without looking back ever since it broke the 40s, now trading at 45.39. And I can see still some more upside in INDL, India, the Indian economy. Especially now, I mean, since things are like not so great over there, you can see that stocks are being bought up for a reason. Next is Russia, RSX, and RSX is pushing up, made an all-time high on Friday at the end of the day, so I think it's got way more to go. It's at 28.95, closed at the highs of the days. Slope is looking strong. It looks like it's ready to really bust up and get some momentum here. I mean, I guess I'd like to see some momentum and then a pullback, pause, and consolidation. But the way it's looking, the curve is, you know, it's looking very strong for the Russian economy. Next is EFA. And they too made an all-time high at the close on Friday of 81.80. And though I know, like, you know, we're not in Europe to see how things are really, but this is also a very good, impressive chart where they've been pushing up since October when they were 60.80. Now they're at 81.80. Next is EEM, Emerging Markets. And this chart actually looks better than the FXI, the Chinese chart, even though it's weighted out. It's more heavily weighted on the Chinese economy. But EEM looks strong. I say it should be able to keep on moving up past the all-time high of 58.60. Right now, they're at 55.99. Let's just call it 56. And we're getting close to the end here. Next is Mexico, EWW. And they actually made an all-time high on Tuesday of 49.25. Still looking good. Probably gonna have some consolidation here. Probably maybe retest like the 47.37. Right now they're trading at 48.46. And last but not least, but my favorite, you know all about this. We got EWZ trading at a high of 41.67. Close at the end on the highs at the end of the day, pushed up all week, was able to close out, making an over 8% on the week. So EWZ, another push up, and then and knowing that this is the third wave on the long count, this thing is gonna keep on rocking, in my opinion. Especially now, I mean, the slope is pretty steep, so we could have a push of 20%. So since it did it 8, it could push another 10%, going back, bringing it back into the 50s. And knowing that this is the long count on wave 3, this is going to be you know, like the shorts will be like just on retracement if you can time them and if you can kind of see an entry. But EWZ performed great, and you know, could probably see another push before a retracement and, you know, a consolidation trade from there. Anyway, thanks for joining me this week. I'll see you next week. You know, feel free to contact me, send questions or anything else you want to see. I'm actually going to be working for next week. Check it out. We're going to be calling it Crypto Weekends when I make them on Friday nights. So Friday night, we're going to have the Crypto Weekend podcast with Trade Doc. All right. If you want it, have some shout outs. I'm also thinking of doing a Patreon where I'm going to be recording some private, my personal trading sessions. And, you know, my goal is to, like, teach people how to trade and pretty much become their ATM. I know that's, like, a lot of people say that, and that's kind of like when you go into trading, you kind of, like, want to get to that spot. But really, nobody is actually getting you there. They'll actually just kind of show you a book, show you some pictures, show you some graphs, and be like, all right, that'll be $500, please, and then peace. But no, I want to, like, I don't want to work with traders that don't know what a chart looks like. I don't want to work with traders that are not familiar with indicators, and I don't want to work with traders that are not familiar with options. I guess you don't have, like, being, like, not knowing about options isn't a bad thing either, because at least you're not in any bad habits. You don't have bad habits. So I guess as long as you know how to read a chart, at least, and you know, if you're into, like, fundamentals, you know, because you could trade, you could be a great trader just trading on fundamentals. I know, like, I do that as well, but I know, you know, like, for instance, Warren Buffett is all about fundamentals, and his strategy is with options, but doesn't read a chart, is only on fundamentals. So I guess, like, what I would do is, you know, whether you're gonna invest or trade, just kind of give you the tools to use in those cases. That's about it. Just to achieve your goals. If your goals is to, you know, make an extra 10% a year, or make an extra 10% a week, you know, obviously to make a 10% a week, you have to be a little bit more active and more cherry picking, versus if you want to make your 10% a year, you can kind of just buy stock on a fundamental basis and it'll go up. Anyways, good luck trading this week. Peace.